at one time. His father became a Christian and then promoted, and his siblings as well. And so he has an ability God has given him to culturally share the gospel with Asian Indians who are here. And so we invite Pramod to come to speak today. And I would very much like you to continue to pray for him as part of your daily devotions, and maybe financially support, because he's supported by the giving of people in churches like ours. All right, so you come.
Thank you.
God bless you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much, Pastor Bill. It's a privilege to be part of the Missions Week of this church. The church and all of you, Rose Bill and the whole family and several others, Rick and Gail, and I see so many faces here. You have been part of our ministry, part of our family. I don't want to go into all the details because the whole service will go in that story if I tell. But I want to thank you. Ranjana, my wife, could not be here. But yes, as Pastor Bill has mentioned, it was around 1996 that first time we were able to connect with Bill and Rose at that time, and they visited also with us in the Asbury Seminary, and you were the first church with Pastor Bill and Rose to support us and encourage us, and that really helped us to continue, whereas we were supposed to go back to India within 3 to 6 months, and the Lord just opened the doors one step at a time, and we are still here. What was meant for only 6 months or so, the Lord just wanted us to be used in this context here. During my study time, whatever work I was doing, writing, that took me in different places, around here in this state and in different parts of this country. And then I began to learn that the demographics and the map of USA is changing a lot. This was in 1996-97, and since then it changed a lot, big time. Probably you will remember once I showed one map, and in 1900s, that time the map looked clean, and now the map of America looks totally different. The reason is, since then, lots of people are coming from all over the world, and I'm focusing specially on the Asian Hindus and Muslims, especially from India, Pakistan, Sri Lanka, Bangladesh, and Nepal, and all that area. Lots and lots of people, hundreds and hundreds of them. And they are also penetrating in all kinds of fields, not only religious, but everywhere, the politics and the culture and businesses and educations and educational system and campuses, everywhere. Just this year in Dayton University, there are more than about 200 to 300 students from, Arabian countries. And then there are more students from India. In Rice State University, there are something like 500 students from India alone. And then University of Cincinnati has 1,000 students from India. All of them are in graduate schools. Now, this is just the educational field. Then other fields. I have mentioned that these people are here and staying. Almost 40% doctors in the U.S. are from India alone. I'm not talking about Pakistan and other places, just from India. 40% of them. NASA has something like 38% of their scientists from India. And then in politics, we see so many people. And religiously and otherwise, they are growing. The biggest Hindu temple will be built somewhere in New Jersey, in that area. The biggest temple in the world, Hindu temple is coming up over there. How many volunteers are there? Not paid, nothing. 80,000 volunteers are helping to build that temple. That is the only way they can build. Huge temple, biggest temple. New temple has come over here. So this is what is our challenge. And our vision developed around that time, after visiting so many areas and places and communities and their activities, we felt, we prayed with our alliance leaders, our district leaders, and we prayed that maybe the Lord can use us over here. This community is totally, totally different. Very, very educated, elite, well accomplished in every area. How we can reach these people? And that has been always our vision. So Satsang Ministry is trying to be culturally sensitive and still present the gospel clearly, the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that is what is our focus through the Satsang Ministry. I'm going to share basically some of my experiences, and maybe that way we will know what are some of the challenges, right? I attend every week. I want you to pray for me and Ranjana every Sunday from 3 o'clock. It may not be possible today, but from 3 o'clock to 5 o'clock, I am in a Hindu dialogue. And the dialogue is held every Sunday in a temple, room, and about 15 to 20 people come there. I want you to pray, because I go there with a purpose and with a vision. And these people know philosophies. You know, a couple of them are retired professors, a couple of them are already, you know, in medicine, business people. Some of them have 15 or 20 motel owners. You know, one person will, and they are sitting over there. So you can imagine, in every area they are successful and they are talking from their point of view. And then some of them have become Hindu and they also talk from their viewpoint. This is what I observe, that all of them are very religious. All of them. All of them are trying. So we are now talking about who these people are. From the religious point of view, we need to present the gospel. These people are well informed. They know a little bit about Christianity, and most of the stuff is from Hinduism. And I try to kind of present the gospel in a very, very sensitive way. Once in 3 months, we have a gathering. Just like potluck, we have. So they are also now doing the potluck thing. And it's very interesting to see Indian potluck. So anyway, that is where we are sitting. And we try to share our impressions, what we have learned in 3 months and things like that. And one Hindu, very educated, very pious, medical, successful person. If you visit his home, his whole house inside looks like a temple. Everywhere. On the walls, in the corners, there is a big room, huge room. It is converted into a temple. And there are life-size, you know, statues in his house. And then he is so proud, humbly, but proud, to tell, well, this statue was brought, this idol was brought all the way from India. I imported this one, life-size, all of them, because he has money and all that. So you can imagine how pious Hindu people are. Not all of them, probably, but most of them. When he visits temple, we were talking about worship. How does he worship in the temple? I'm just giving you these kind of short, nuggets as to how they practice, who they are, and we are trying to reach them. When he goes into that Hindu temple, there are idols. There are three major sections on the podium there. He is an MD doctor, cardiologist. What do you expect from him as he goes? As he goes on the campus, he will pick up every trash to put in there. Then, when he goes, he comes into the temple. From there only he will fold his hands and straight walk first in the central, in front of the central idol, that big statue there. And he will literally fall down, face down, prostrate, total. His nose is right into the carpet. A medical man. His nose is into the carpet. And that is how. His hands are up there and down, totally flat. Then he gets up. He does the same thing on the right side. He does the same thing on the left side. How do you preach to that person the gospel of Jesus Christ? That is the challenge we have. This is what we are talking about. They need to hear about the gospel. They need to be told. That is not the question, how we share the gospel to the person like him. Once we were discussing in that quarterly discussion, and this is the statement he came up with, and this is where our gospel becomes relevant. The answer. You know what? In spite of all that, what he does every time, every week, and the way he worships, the way he is totally committed to his gods and goddesses and religion and piety and all that. And as we are discussing, and we are taking turns to tell about our own spirituality, our own religious experiences, what we do, he came up with this statement. This is true, he said. One thing I know, I am a great sinner. The person who falls flat on his face. In the discussion, he confesses, one thing I know, I am a great sinner, but I am trying to be better by doing good. I am trying to be better by doing good. I don't know, but I am trying to do it. For that man, there is only one answer. For that person, he is trying to be good. He is struggling to be good by falling flat on face in front of his deity. But that deity is not able to give him an answer for salvation. And that answer comes. And that is what is our mission. That is what is church's mission. That is why the church exists in this world. God is God of missions. God is God of mission. And the only reason why he kept the church in this world is to be that mission. In fact, one writer, he named church a mission. Church is really a mission. You know? So somebody would say, oh, here is a church. They really should not say here is a church. They really should say here is a mission. This is not church as such. This is a mission. Because God is mission. God sent the church to do the mission. And there is no other definition that can define the church. Local church or universal church. And that is why we exist. We are the only people in Christ Jesus to give that answer to the people. St. Paul says to the church in Thessalonica, it's very, very apt, he said, we know how you turn to God from idols to serve a living and true God. I love that. Because that is what these people can be defined. Hindus, Muslims, Sikh, Jain and Buddhists, this whole group of people, they can be defined by one. They are idol worshippers. That is for sure. They themselves accept that. And St. Paul says, I know you from where you come. Our mission, our ministry is from this group, Thessalonica Church, was an idol worshipper. From idol worship, they became a missional community. Can you imagine that journey? That they used to worship dead God and idols, and the journey began, and they become a missional group. And that story is also there. And that is what each and every church he wants and he expects. In fact, later on he says, I don't have to say anything about you guys because you are doing a great job. That word is, I don't have to say anything. Just before that he says that. You are a missional church. You became, each and every person became a new church. Gospel is needed to these people. They need to hear the gospel. And that is what I am trying to do. We are trying to do through Satsang Ministry. Another story I would like to tell. Same thing with similar. We try to give hospitality. One more thing. Through hospitality. First thing is dialogue. That is the dialogue part. Dialogical way of sharing the gospel. You might, and dialogue doesn't have to be in a temple or in a formal setting. It can be around a dining table. When you have some friends coming, that is where this dialogue in formal way can happen. And it doesn't have to be in a format, a typical format. No, we are talking. Another, one more way we do sharing the gospel is through hospitality. That we try to bring all these friends together and we share our life. We share our, sorrows and our joys, and they can see and they can experience what we exactly do, and, you know, everything. They can just see. Everything is open. Our Christian life becomes open in hospitality. And that is where the real interaction takes place. One lady comes from a Hindu background, in fact Sikh background, because we include Sikh people, so she was a Sikh. She openly confessed once that she said, you know what, I studied in a Christian Roman Catholic convent school in India. But once accidentally, as I was talking to my parents, I accidentally said the word Jesus. Look how far we are from the missional concept, the church, Christian believers. And she said, as soon as I said word Jesus, my mother, without delay, slapped me in my face. This way and that way. No question asked. And my mother said, this is real. These are real stories. We are dealing with these kinds of people. That's what. This is the challenge. You know what she said? She confessed to us. This is what she said. My mother said to me, do you know why I slapped in your face? Never again you utter that word Jesus in this home. Never again. If you say that again, I will beat you up and punish you. That family came in our home, was dining and eating, and confessed us. And then she said in her own words, how fortunate we are that here we have freedom to talk about Jesus. Isn't that a powerful statement coming from a person who comes from anti-Christian family in India? And here she has that freedom to talk about freely, about Jesus freely. That is the mission we have here. These neighbors, these people coming from all over the world, and they are growing in numbers. Every year about 125,000 students come to this country to study. Every year. And then there are these, you know, other people that are there. More than 5 million Hindu and Muslim people that are here. And they come from these kinds of backgrounds. And they need to hear the gospel. Maybe first time they will be here, they will be able to hear the gospel is in our home when we are eating with them, having tea or coffee with them. And that is what is the power of the gospel. When Paul says, the way I shared the gospel to you is, but we were gentle among you. Isn't that? You know, the misconception about preaching the gospel is in India that we don't want to listen to them. That is the misconception. We want to be only heard. And that's all. That is not the gospel. That is not the way to share the gospel. When it comes to hospitality, let them see our gentleness among them. They will be willing to hear. You know, one of the a great philosopher in India said, the Christian people talk too much. That is his observation. A friend of Mahatma Gandhi said. And they do very little. In his statement, he said, Christian people are ordinary people, but talk extraordinary things. These are his words, exact words. In other words, is our gentleness open and clear to them when we are sharing the... In the same book, by the way, Paul is saying, how did I preach to you when you are idol worshippers? How did I preach to you? How did I share my gospel to you? How did they become from idol worshippers to missional community, missional church? In other words, they are being and they are doing things and activities and worship. Everything was nothing but missional. Nothing was separate from there to here. Then he says, like a nurse tenderly caring for her own children. Beautifully he says, yes, I brought the gospel to you. Yes. How did I? These people, in other words, the way we share the gospel is, you know how? Tenderly, lovingly, like a nurse, because they are little babies and they need that tenderly care and love. They may be very successful, they may be very educated, and spiritually they have no clue whether their sins are forgiven or not, like that doctor. Isn't that a baby there who is confessing? I don't know. I am a great sinner, but I am trying to live good life. So I don't know what is going to happen to me. What a babe! What a baby! Share the gospel to these people tenderly, like a nurse, lovingly and caringly. That is what is really, basically, he is talking about when we share the gospel to to these people. Then he says, in spite of the persecution, you received the word with joy inspired by the Holy Spirit. So here, he is not only depending on his own method. His method is, of course, dialogical, but his method is loving, caring, like a nurse in a simple setting, maybe hospitality in our home. But then thirdly, he also depends on the work of the Holy Spirit. There are some times we do not know why these people, they don't respond. You do everything, you feel you have done everything right. And then we do not see the fruit because we need to depend on the Holy Spirit when we are trying to reach these our friends. It is the work of the Holy Spirit, literally, really speaking, ultimately, to transform the heart, to change the heart. It is the work of the Holy Spirit. That's what I hear almost every Sunday in this dialogue. Christians are trying to convert us. Christians are trying to convert our children, our young people. I have to answer those questions. And the answer is, it is not me doing it. I cannot. I once told you that, do you want to be converted if I am trying to convert you? This is educated man. Are you ready to be converted? I can't do it. It's not my job. My job is to give you just certain answers that I have found. And this is what I have found. And that's all. Lovingly, like a nurse, treating each and every person that we meet, and God brings us into our path. A very good example that I find is we once enter into a hospital. I know our time is up, or almost getting over. I entered into a hospital. And there a man was in a coma. And his doctor wife is sitting there. And the person who was in coma, he is also sitting, his sister is sitting there. As soon as we entered into the hospital room, he is in coma. His wife, a doctor herself, he was there by then 10 days in coma. As soon as she enters. You know, these are the words she uttered. She sees me and Ranjana, he says. I got my answer. I mean, how do you respond to that? I got my answer. We had no clue what she was thinking. We had no idea what she was thinking and about what she was thinking. She was thinking about disconnecting the life support of her husband. And we come into the room and she gets her answer. How are we answers to those questions? Are we? Are we answers to those questions? Church is an answer. Church people are an answer. They are going through all kinds of problems in every respect. We do not know how God is working in their lives. As a nurse, tenderly and carefully we are sharing the gospel. It is the Holy Spirit who works at the right time in their hearts. And the next step was, he is in coma, and Ranjana said to the doctor wife, can I say something to your husband? He may be able to listen, he may not be able to listen, right? And she holds his hand, and I am also standing there, and this his sister and wife, they are sitting there, and then she says, I always wanted you to listen to this, that Jesus Christ is your Savior. We do not know, but we are praying. She is shouting in his ears, and he is in coma. Literally, this is what we did. And we asked the permission. No, please do anything what you want. And then they asked me to pray. Have they taken baptism? No. Not yet. He passed away. The wife is still there in Dayton. But we are praying that the only Holy Spirit will answer the prayers. And that is what is the missions. One more thing. What he says that you received the word, the gospel, but then so that you became an example to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. For the word of the Lord has sounded forth from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but in every place your faith in God has become known. The church that was literally idol worshiper has become a missional body, and Macedonia and Achaia and all parts of that, one thing was known, that this church is faith church. This church believes in the true and living God. And that is one more aspect. In other words, from idol worshippers to missional church. That body, from one congregation to another congregation, was communicating that there is one living God. We are worshipping that one living God. And that is what the missional church looks like. How do we bring these people to Christ? This is what I preach the gospel. He said, I preach the gospel. You received the gospel. You received in spite of the persecution, in spite of whatever, you know, they had to go through. And then you became the mission church. You became the missional church. And that is what is the prayer of every single Christian believer. The missional church will become only when each and every person, believer in Christ, becomes that missional person. And that is what will make the church the missional church. Last story. I know the time is up. A Hindu man came. Young man. He was going to Penn State to do his doctoral studies in electrical engineering. I'll make it short. He's standing right at the door of my house. His mother had brought to show us and all that, something like that. His dad is a professor at Dayton University. And now, before he now leaves Dayton, they came and visited. Hindu dad. Mother is a little bit of a believer, and he doesn't know where he is. You know what happened? He came. Just as he was leaving, I carefully, slowly asked him, have you any time prayed to Jesus to receive Jesus in your hearts? That was a simple question. And you know what? That simple question changed his life. He wasn't sure. I said, can we do it right now before you leave? He said, yes, we can. He prayed and he gave his life to Jesus. Completed his doctorate. Got married. Went to visit India. All his relatives are Hindus. After coming back, I asked him, how was the trip? He said, excellent. I must have preached the gospel, he said, to my 100 relatives. One person. I preached the gospel. My trip was a mission trip. I preached the gospel to my Hindu relatives in villages and the cities. Let us pray that God has brought this mission field over here, that we as a missional church will reach each and every person that God has brought us in our backyard. Thank you so much, and may God bless and use us.